Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Retail Refined, a market scale podcast with your host, me, Melissa Gonzalez. Today, I'm really excited to have this beauty conversation that I'm about to have with two special guests. I don't often have two, so it is extra special when I get to have that. With me today is Jeremy Lowenstein. He is the CMO of Milani Cosmetics. And I also have Kelly Sobel, who's the SVP of North America Sales and Customer Development at Milani Cosmetics. So to give a little introduction to the both of them, Jeremy is a proven global brand builder. He has expertise in both digital and traditional media, content development, and product innovation. And Milani is no short of that level of innovation that we're going to dig into today. His previous beauty industry experience includes senior marketing roles at Campari Beauty, Coty, Sally Hansen, and Estee Lauder's Aveda. And then Kelly, who's also joining us today, she comes with a ton of experience herself. Over the past 2 years, she has driven significant revenue growth and helped lead a brand transformation that resulted in Milani's growth outperforming the beauty category, which the category in itself has been having big growth. So outpacing that is no small feat. She is a results-driven collaboration leader, deeply committed to mentorship and building cross-functional teams and creating partnerships that unlock business value and drive growth. And we're going to dig into all of that. She's also highly involved in women in retail leadership and extends her influence beyond just being at Milani Cosmetics, but also setting the precedent for women leaders in retail to follow as a mentor. So thank you, Jeremy and Kelly, both of you, for being with me today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and assume that the audience knows about Milani Cosmetics because of its high level of popularity. But while I gave a very high level introduction to the both of you, maybe I'll start with Jeremy and then we'll go to Kelly. Tell the audience a little bit more about Milani and your role at the organization.
Sure. So, you know, I like to assume nothing. So Milani is actually a 23-year-old brand, which actually surprises most people. It was started by a brother and sister who really saw two need gap opportunities, which is hard to say. It's 23 years. It's only 2001. It feels like I should say that's the 1980s at this point. But the two opportunities they really saw was democratizing prestige beauty. You know, they had this philosophy of why do you have to spend over $40, $50 to have high performing prestige quality formulas? Why can't we just allow access to that for everybody? So really bringing down the price point, making it accessible to everyone by taking out some of the things that are unnecessary, like sometimes the high cost of packaging. So that was part one. The second part was they identified really the unmet need from a specific consumer group, and that was Black women. They didn't feel like they actually had the opportunity to see themselves in the offering that was sold at Mass Color. So fast forward to today, you know, 23 years later, Milani is the second fastest growing mass color cosmetics brand in eye, lip, and face, second to e.l.f. We are also the leading brand for the multicultural consumer at mass, with over 30% of our consumers as self-identified Latinas.
Love that. Thank you. And Kelly?
I couldn't have said it better than my partner in crime. I think what's really cool about Milani is that Milani made being inclusive and authentic cool before all the other brands started to. And so when the founders began the brand, they based it on what they saw around them with the consumers in East LA, which really is just a melting pot and and really is a map for the rest of the US. And so it has been a really fun journey over the time that I've been here, but just so fun to continue to watch Milani. It's always been relevant. But as the rest of the brands are trying to catch up to some of the secret sauce that we had with our loyal customers, it just continues to grow.
I think we forgot to answer your other question about what we do here and how long we've been.
Yeah.
I'll go right into that. I'm so focused on the brand. So I've been with the brand for 3 years. You recapped sort of my background pretty succinctly, but my role at Milani is overseeing product development, marketing, creative, our Amazon and D2C business, as well as international. But I would say that, you know, across the board, we are one of the most cross-functional and highly collaborative organizations, which really starts from the top. It is actually quite unusual in most beauty companies where you see sales and marketing like holding hands and going, you know, across every, whether it's to our customer meetings or how we think about the go forward strategy. But I'll let Kelly talk about her role. But we are probably the most interconnected pillars and partners at this company.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been with Milani about, gosh, it's going on 7 years now. So a little bit longer than my friend Jeremy, but I feel like he's been with me this entire ride. So I head up North America sales. So I would say I have the most fun job in the company because I get to partner with all of our fantastic retailers, bringing Milani to life, largely what the consumer sees from us. Either they see what Jeremy's team is creating on social media or they see what my team is creating in our retailer stores.
Yeah, I love that you both speak so positively about the partnership approach because it's critical. I think so many times strategies fall short because the stakeholders that can move the needle towards that strategy coming to fruition aren't aligned.
Yeah.
So it's great to hear that that's your approach. Well, you told us a little bit in your introduction about Milani, about what makes it uniquely positioned in the market and really being born from that mindset. Can you dive in a little bit deeper about how you approach a customer-centric strategy, your value propositions there, the products, you know, stand behind that, right? And inclusivity and diversity. And but then how do you get it to your customer? You're available across many channels. How do you keep the customer at the nucleus of your decisions?
Sure. So I'll go on the consumer side of the customer, and then and Kelly can go on the retailer side of the customer. Mm-hmm. You know, it really all does start with the consumer and what is our unique really proposition to the marketplace. You know, I think there's a lot of brands out there. And I think first and foremost, understanding what you stand for is really critical. So we talked about Milani's strength as being a multicultural brand. So making sure that we are always keeping all consumers of all skin tones in mind when developing product. Second is partnering with some of the leading developers and scientists in the makeup world of what is going to be trending over the next 2 to 3 years. And how do their offerings and our need gaps really fit our core consumer? So we take those all sort of into consideration when developing our product roadmap. And then where does that fit within our retailer world? In terms of bringing it to market, again, thinking about how do we showcase everything from the right shade offering across all of our consumer touch points, starting with everything online in the social universe, and then how does that show up at store where she's finally making her her decision of purchase?
Mm-hmm. Kelly, so that leads to you because the store conversation, right? There's education to the consumer, but also the retailers that you're partnering with.
Absolutely. And we know that still 80, sometimes 90% of those purchases are made at the store, at the shelf. And so I think that's that is the secret sauce, having our team so aligned, my team, Jeremy's team, ourselves, because what you see happen inside the office really does come to life at shelf. And what's really neat is that we do have a lot of different retailers that we are in business with, but they all really have a unique point of view on Milani, and we have a unique point of view on how we go to market with them, which I think makes it really easy for the consumer to know where to shop us, what to expect. She can go into a drugstore and it's a reliable source of replenishment every week. She can go into Ulta and usually find what's new and what's trending and find it really easily. Target's made an amazing, you know, just kind of like a shopping ground for her to go play at a playground in beauty. And they always are standing for big hero items. And then value really matters. I think that's what's really important. Jeremy mentioned our quality. Being a prestige quality brand, that's not something we will ever, lost my train of thought, but that's not something we'll ever give up on. Being prestige quality is very important to our consumer. And much like, your podcast came to be during COVID, a lot of new consumers found us during COVID, and they found us because TikTok started talking about the quality and dupe. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to call ourselves a dupe brand, but consumers really started to learn, oh my goodness, I can go to my local store down the street and find this Milani item, and it's the same formula as what I'm paying 3 or 4 times as much for. That's been a large part of our secret sauce.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's been a lot of redefining of what value is too. And it's interesting with some of the partners that you have too. I think across the spectrum from a Walmart to an Ulta, there's been a lot of, I think, mindfulness from the consumer side of what do they consider value, and the ability for a brand to be a partner for them in their beauty journey, more so than just selling them products, is critical.
Yeah. Absolutely. We know know when she walks into Ulta, she expects to find everything. She expects to find very, very high end, and she expects to find what she defines as a value. A value at one retailer is, this is $15 instead of $50. And then when she walks into a mass retailer, you know, under 10 and under 15 are really important to her. And those retailers know who their shoppers are, and they know how to partner with the brands to make sure that that's what we're putting out in front of their guest.
I think also part of when you say the word value, it isn't always just monetary value. Mm-hmm. I think part of the inclusive nature and DNA of Milani is part of the value that we bring to the mass retail environment. And we do it in a very authentic way. You know, I think, you know, Kelly and I have spent well over two decades in this space across multiple brands who over the past, I'd say 10 plus years have tried to, you know, maybe reinvent themselves or say that we are now inclusive and available for all. Whereas Milani has always been that way. And it's the, if you know, you know, secret mm-hmm. that really, I think, attracts the customer and the consumer to the Milani shelf.
No, absolutely. And as you talk about the customer, so one of the things that we investigate a lot, you know, at my firm, and I lead a group called MG2 Advisory, we're always researching market research, surveying customers. And we talk a lot in this space about cross-generational influence. And when you talk about the mindset, I mean, it's not new news, but the influence of not just Gen Z and Alpha in the beauty space now is pretty significant. I mean, as a mom, you know, I remember my mom taught me all the trends. My daughter is educating me all the time when she's 9. and I think the younger age group is even more attuned to the importance of inclusivity than even like, you know, generations older than us were.
It's table stakes at this point.
It's table stakes, right? Right, exactly. And so, what have you learned from that, I guess? And how are you effectively capturing the mind share, not just of like today's consumer, which is also Gen Z, but the up and coming too, that is already an influencer in the household?
Sure. You know, I think what's interesting, you sort of hit on this, is this sort of upward generational influencing, whereas it used to be sort of generational down. I think with the democratization of social media, specifically TikTok, that really caught multi-generations of attention during COVID has really helped shape a little bit of a new consumer. And the younger consumer, which we are having to speak to every day, but also balance that with the millennial and Gen Xers, how do you continue to educate in an authentic way for your brand that speaks to all audiences? And also, not all content is born equal. So one is product education, whether it's, you know, ingredient storytelling, how do you demonstrate shade and payoff? And this is, like Kelly said, this is a high touch category. So making sure that you are showcasing, whether it's the foundation, the whatever, the, or blush payoff on. So I think we hit on this earlier around the influence of TikTok during COVID. There has been a real shift in social media consumption that is truly multi-generational. And we see with TikTok, it is the most cross-generational in terms of usage. So as we develop content, and we know that not all content is born equal, making sure that we have the right content on the right platform that speaks to the right product message and consumer that we are speaking with. So that has to do with product education around ingredients. It could be everything from shade and pigment level to application techniques, et cetera. Some of those messages are not only crafted by us, but it's also they're also crafted by our consumers, who are in turn influencers themselves. And what's important for us as a brand, as we think about our brand influencer partners, is finding the ones that already are Milani lovers and understand our reason for being, because they just help further the Milani story and why we are different from everyone else in the mass color market. So again, bringing those consumers who speak to whether it's their peer, and that could be, say, you know, that could be a Gen Zer, it could be a Gen Alpha, or it could be a, you know, millennial Gen Xer, but that content seems to resonate also sometimes cross-generationally.
I think what's really interesting when we think about the, you know, it used to be generation going down and now it's generation going up. Many years ago, when I was a very young buyer, I learned about Milani from the beauty managers who taught me about it. And they educated their daughters, and that was how people found out about Milani. When you look at, you know, Gen Z, Gen Alpha, what matters most to them is inclusivity and authenticity. And then they realize Milani's the OG of all of this. They were always there, serving my customer, my skin tone, you know, and doing it with prestige quality products. And so it has been kind of fun to see that resurgence that it used to be, you know, my mom or my grandma told me about Milani because this Stay Put eyeliner lasts for 48 hours. And now it's the, you know, granddaughter of her saying, but I saw the setting spray on TikTok. And what is this? This must be voodoo because it lasts for a day. So it's been really fun to watch that transformation and it pass on to the younger generation.
Yeah, for sure. And each generation is in such a different trajectory of their own personal beauty journey too. So you talk about serving up content, like the Gen Zer is mostly in discovery. And yes. the Gen X, like we're a little more set in our ways with a little bit of discovery. So the way you would talk across generations there too, like any learnings you can share from that?
You know, I think beauty is truly cross-generational. I think where you see more of a difference is actually in skincare around educating the right ingredients for the right, you know, where you are in your sort of skin progression. I've had 12-year-olds ask me if hyaluronic acid is appropriate for their
skin. I know.
Correct, but I think that responsibility then falls onto the brand to make sure that we're educating. And when we think about our key ingredients in a foundation and a concealer, or even like lip plumpers that we have, what's right for you based off of what you are looking for. So I do think that makeup is truly cross-generational in a much easier way. I do see this. So we launched Fruit Fetish lip oil about 2 years ago and really created this category in mass that has now caught on fire. Everybody has a lip oil. And ours, we have, you know, 10 distinct flavor profiles, which makes ours unique. But what I am seeing when I look at the consumer world is you have the Gen Zers who are buying it because it has that kind of lip smacker, you know, really, you just want to keep applying it because it tastes so good. But the mothers are then taking it from the daughters because now they want it. So it's not having the right flavor profiles for the right consumer with the right shades, if it's the right lip tones, and how do they, again, sort of up and down the generation start to share those experiences and products?
It's so much to think about, for sure. Yes. Can we touch upon this too? And what is your, especially with a brand with so much diversity, right, and pigment and those coming to your brand specifically for color matching and things like that, what do you see as the role of technology in facilitating some of that personalization with your brand?
Sure. So, you know, I think helping them navigate the right shade is really important. Mass, I'd say, is a little bit more challenging to do that from an in-store perspective. You don't have the beauty advisors in the US like you do in Europe. I think everyone has tried technology in store, and that's a little bit more challenging. But how do you keep that up? So I think we make best efforts from an online perspective to make shade recommendations, whether that is, hey, I use foundation X from brand Y. What's your comparable? So that way it's an easier transition. So help them navigate what they may already know. But then also for us showing, so we over the past 3 years have reshot all of the brand content to show our products across a range of skin tones. So that way they can actually see themselves in the content and help them navigate online. The other piece that you will see that we've done both in-store and online, so we have our Conceal and Perfect 2-in-1 foundation and concealer. We've actually shot 45 different street cast models. I use them in quotes. They are our consumers. And those faces show up at different, whether it's in-store or online, because again, it's seeing themselves, not just the skin, but the sort of the humanity behind it to help them navigate.
And those women that we shot, women and men that we shot, when you go into some retailers, you see their face at shelf too, which I think is really unique for Milani, that we use our models, our cast of characters in multiple places. what I think is interesting is that no matter how much technology you have, it is still makeup and you still have mm-hmm. to touch it. And so, yes, replenishment items, or yes, I know this is my Milani anti-gravity black brown mascara. I can just add it to cart. There are some experiences that stores will always remain so important to the shop. I need to touch it. I need to feel it. I need to have it in my cart physically and take it out just to make sure. We do lean into all of our retailers' platforms, but none of them, I think, have gotten to the point yet that every consumer feels comfortable. And I don't think mm-hmm. she ever will. Not everyone will feel comfortable with that level of technology. But there are certainly, ways that they have tried to make this really appealable and on your smartphone it shall.
I think we as a brand, knowing the retail world within which we live, try to make it as seamless for the consumer as possible versus, sometimes, like I said, the benefits that a prestige distributed brand may have. For instance, if we talk about foundation, all of our foundations are in clear glass bottles. Why is that? It's not just for the look of it, but it's so if you're at shelf, you can lift the bottle up because there are no testers, and you can hold it against your skin to see if that's the right match. Yes, we all know bottle tone and payoff sometimes will differ a little bit, but it's the closest opportunity versus if you go to a prestige distributed brand, they may frost their bottles because they'll have a tester where they can apply it at point of sale with a beauty advisor to help match them. The same is true when you look at things like lip. People assume that everyone's lip tones are the same. They're not. So again, you can't also just have bullets in, without having color match there. So our color fetish matte lipsticks, we have our color fetish lip stains now, they're all custom colored components. So that way he or she can actually hold the component, the package up and see if that's actually right for them since they won't be able to play with the bullet itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think as people are getting more and more educated, that's becoming table stakes too, that people are expecting to be able to have that level of discovery, especially if they're coming into the store.
Exactly.
One of the things you said as we were talking about your cast of characters, I think is what you said, I want to transition a little bit into outside of just generational, the growth of athletes, culture, and beauty. Yep. And that's become a part of your strategy as well with the launch of Face Set Mindset. So can you tell the audience a little bit about that and your first ever sports collaboration, which of course, especially in women's sports, has seen a tremendous rise this year?
Yeah. Kelly hit on it a little bit ago when she talked about our Make It Last setting spray, which has been really an iconic product for us since 2017 where it was launched. And setting sprays really were kind of makeup artists' best kept secret to locking your makeup. And during COVID, as people were watching and consuming more content, they saw that this is your best opportunity to lock in your makeup for longer. So when our original setting spray was launched, I was going to say born, which it was, it had an up to 16-hour wear claim, which is amazing. That is, again, to say that your makeup's going to last for 16 hours is a pretty big statement. Mm-hmm. About a year and a half ago, we, again, were very consumer mindset. We want to see what people are talking about. There were one or two TikToks where these consumers had posted videos where they had worn makeup for 24 hours and it had lasted using our setting spray. And one of them said, "What is this sorcery that I have put on my face? There's a lot to sleep in my makeup and it still looks like as fresh as when I put it on." So internally, we had this discussion and said, "Wow, that's actually really interesting. Maybe we should go back and retest our product," which we did. And out of that came updated claims for up to 24 hours of wear, waterproof and sweatproof. And I said, "Great. It's all about endurance now." So the original soft launch of that new claim set was actually done in partnership with Barry's Bootcamp. We said, if you can survive a Barry's Bootcamp class, you know that this product is working for you. So we hosted in both New York and LA, 100 creators, influencers, editors, and some consumers to put the product to the test. And the results are phenomenal. Like if you can survive Barry's where you're running for 30 minutes on a treadmill plus lifting, you are good to go. So pin that while you said, Melissa, you talked about the rise of women in sports. Yeah. Should have always been a part of the conversation, but it is really a faster growing piece of partnership opportunities. And when we looked at our consumer and we studied who our consumers, sports felt like the best synergy for us based on their level of interest. Mm-hmm. And yes, the Olympics were coming up, but the impetus was really, again, around a product that was all about endurance. And what is the best way to demonstrate that and this rise of female athletes? So when we went to bring on four partners, again, I wanted to make sure that they were authentic Milani fans and users, and they fit with this concept of face-up mindset, which was, again, that intersection of sort of strength, sort of that mental strength, and saying when you feel like in confidence, when your face is set, you are ready to take on whatever the day is going to throw at you. And that can be, you know, the hardest sport out there, or it could be, you know, just a day at the office or at school. So the four women we partnered with had all unique stories and accomplishments of their own. Everyone from, so we had Jordan Childs, who again was really amazing for us because when we approached Jordan, you know, she comes from a family of five children. One of her older sisters is a makeup artist. And when we approached her with the opportunity, it took her no less than, you know, 30 seconds to say yes to us, because Milani was a brand that she's been using since she was a teenager, because quote her, it was one of the only brands that had a range of foundations and products that matched her skin tone. So this was the easiest partnership opportunity for us to enter in with. We then brought on Sabrina Ionescu, who's from the New York Liberty, who has been mentored by some of the greats, won gold at the most recent Olympics. We had Chiako Bagu, who this was her first partnership. She's an or a volleyball player, and then Maddie Rogers, who is an Olympic weightlifter, who's also competed in past Olympics. But for them to showcase this product in its sort of best form, but also bring on a suite of other influencers and consumers who are just as amazing in their own right and are also just as relatable for our everyday consumers, to put together a campaign was really a unique opportunity for Milani.
Yeah, so powerful. And Team USA showed up well at the Olympics this summer. So so Kelly, on the backs of that, you know, how do you ensure that such powerful partnerships like this, which is, you know, brand strategy, successfully show up with a level of impact with your retail partners?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that's critical, that they are a part of and see what we're doing and are, you know, are brought along for the ride. And so they were all thrilled with the talent that we worked with. And then, you know, we chose an item that was really powerful in its own right. And so the success of this campaign, not only just how important this was to Milani, the brand, to show up in this way, but we had amazing results with our retailers in a very, very busy time of year. People are launching new items and Milani's talking about something that's been around since 2017. But we had amazing results, upwards of 30% increases on POS. And, you know, we talked about how long we've been growing. So those are on already great results. So it was really exciting to bring them along for that journey and then see the results pay out in the sales that we were able to achieve.
Mm-hmm. And so I have a follow-up question on that as you say that. So one of the things, right, as a beauty brand, you're also trying to think of is how do you get that plus one in the cart? And in our research too, you know, there's a lot of talk about wanting to demystify either by regimen or by kit or by system, you know, how can they shop? And so can you talk a little bit about that as well? So say you get this one product, right, that you've really developed a lot of fandom around it. How do you build around that successfully?
So I'll talk about it online and then, you know, in stores, obviously another opportunity, but you know, for our direct-to-consumer business, showcasing a virtual bundles that say, hey, this is part of your regimen. So what are the must-haves for Milani? So whether that's the foundation, the concealer, it's your, you know, core lipstick, your mascara, but always never leave without a setting spray. The other opportunity is, as they're going through checkout, is to make sure if they don't have that in cart, serve it up to them as, hey, you may also like this because this helps lock in your look. So there's a lot that we can do online. I think in store, it's again, how do you bring it off shelf with other core products? Because it is, to your point, Melissa, it is a great basket builder, because it's historically, setting spray has not been sort of what everyone would think of as a core product purchase. And our goal is to make that the thing that you always want to buy. A, you go through it pretty quickly. So how do you want to make sure that you're using it on a daily basis to lock in your look?
Yeah, to Jeremy's point, we can't always get off display on, you know, off shelf at stores. The they aren't inventing new space. They always tell us their walls don't expand. And so when we can't get off shelf to tell a story, you walk into any cosmetics department and it is a sea of product. I mean, mm-hmm. if you are new to the category, how do you walk into a big box retailer and look at that and decide, can I find my brand that I've heard of or that I'm looking for Milani? So one of the things, you know, just go way back to the basics. After Jeremy joined, we started talking about, gosh, we have to make this easier for her. And so one of the things that Jeremy started working on with his team right away to make it easier for me as we merchandise and my team designs what those sets look like is, oh my gosh, how are we going to brand this, make it last, stay put? We had to start building some power franchises so that she knows Conceal and Perfect is my foundation, and it also has additional items that go right along with it, so I can have my concealer. Mm-hmm. Soon I'll have my primer and other items. And so brand building and franchise building were a big part of it, so that A, she recognizes Milani when she walks up to the set in the store. And then once she's in the set, oh, make it last. I understand this is a long wear product because there's other items within Milani's franchise that also, you know, wear for a long time when I'm in a store where there's not help and nothing but a sea of products.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Having in-store signage that is also really clear around, again, thinking about the consumer journey from discovery to the actual point of purchase is really important. So thinking about what are the core products that we want to focus on at point of sale, on shelf, talking about its major benefits. So you'll see it almost all of our retailer sets, a sign for Make It Last setting spray. This is the thing that locks in your makeup for up to 24 hours. So it is that encouragement when they may have gone to our set to look for, you know, our highly rated lash extension mascara, but right on that same tray, two trays down, they will see our Make It Last setting spray with a very clear sign that should be attention grabbing and make them make that purchase decision within like 2 seconds.
Absolutely. You need those bite-sized pieces of information for sure. And demystification is key. So I love that because I agree. I go shopping and it's like, I can be very seduced, but I also can get overwhelmed. So the more you can simplify and create a system, the better. So before we go, the both of you are, you know, you're sitting at the forefront of beauty. I'm sure you're constantly looking at insights and information. Future forward in the next couple of years, like, what are you really excited about, maybe from either a product development standpoint? Like, what do you think is potential in the market? And then from a customer standpoint, like, what do you think the opportunities are for the Milani brand as you think about the customer in the next couple of years?
Kelly, you go first.
Okay. So I think we talked about TikTok just has changed and sped everything up to play a pace that we never thought we would see. And so when we think about what's next in beauty or what keeps us excited, I always say there's nothing new under the sun, but in makeup there always is. There's always a new finish. There's always a new format. Sometimes the innovation doesn't even come in a product. It comes in the way that it's delivered to you or in the packaging. And so that's really the fun stuff to get to work on. You'll soon see, and it's already out there online, our new primer with a scoop that was just such a fun thing to talk about and develop. And so continuing to find new ways to surprise and delight her. It is one of the most intimate things she's going to do every day is look in the mirror and put some makeup on, even if it's just mascara. And so that mm-hmm. makes it a super fun and inventive category. It's so personal and it touches your skin. It's the one thing that you can do to make mm-hmm. yourself feel better that you can afford, you know, no matter what your budget is. And so that's what keeps it super exciting and fresh. And Jeremy heads up product, so I'll let him talk about that, how that excites him from that side.
Yeah, I think just to build on that, you know, we talked about being a prestige quality brand at mass, but part of what has informed, I think, the product market is, again, the real globalization of trend. Mm-hmm. I think we all have seen it. For those of us who've been in beauty for a long time, have always tried to take inspiration from other parts of the world. But I think what has accelerated the sort of the education and that information has been TikTok and social media and also Instagram. Mm-hmm. Everything that's really out there, Reddit posts at this point, the threads.
YouTube. Gen Alpha is on YouTube because they don't have TikTok accounts yet.
Is on YouTube now. So there is this multi-platform approach, but I think that access to global beauty trends is helping inform the way consumers are shopping. And because Milani has always been at the forefront of prestige technology, we are taking learnings and being in sort of informed by what's happening globally. You know, all of our products are made in Europe, North America, South Korea. And Kelly mentioned our most recent product of Conceal and Perfect Blur Out Primer. That's a product that's actually made in South Korea. And it's really inspired by skincare technology that is coming out of South Korea. So again, we've talked about the skinification of cosmetics. That's just going to continue. But that skinification is going to come from other countries now. And it's relatively easier for the consumer to understand what is Korean beauty because they've been exposed to it through all of the content that's out there. So we get to capitalize on that trend and bring that forward in the mass market. I think there used to be a wider gap of time between what you would see in the prestige channels versus what you see at mass. A, Milani is actually condensing that, but also the consumers are expecting that. You know, like I talked about our Fruit Fetish lip oil, we were really first to mass the same time that Dior came out with theirs. So I think that's where I get excited because this rapid growth of beauty is happening in a very different way than we've seen before.
No, absolutely. That global perspective, like to your point, it educates consumers in a different way too. So their awareness of understanding Korean beauty and really believing in that, and then understanding that that's how you're partnering and integrating as well, gives you another level of validation.
You used to go into a store and they would have a K-beauty, a Korean beauty section.
Right.
You don't necessarily need that anymore because it can be infused into the brands that already exist. And there's already acceptance and awareness and an understanding of what that means to be sort of Korean inspired, Italian inspired. You know, our baking brushes, which are handcrafted, baked on terracotta tiles in Italy, in Crema. You know, again, and that globalization is coming here, and we are bringing also North American technology to other countries as well.
Yeah, super exciting. So much ahead of us. Well, thank you so much for spending the time today. The time always goes very quickly, but appreciate you telling the audience more about not just Milani Cosmetics today, but how you continue to be forward thinking and what the future holds. So everybody, again, this was Jeremy Lowenstein, CMO at Milani Cosmetics, and Kelly Sobel, who's the SVP of North America Sales and Customer Development. If you want to continue to follow them, you can find them on LinkedIn, and definitely follow Milani Cosmetics on socials because there's always something new to discover there. So thank you again.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Melissa.